I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes in life, we look to the future and we are filled with dread. This isn't just a condition for adults. I remember as a child when I'd be facing a very difficult test, a test that they said would go with me the rest of my life. Sometimes teachers were not very wise in how they described testing. And I was filled with dread because I didn't realize how I would do and I was frightened. There are some times that we are filled with dread for the future. Those of you who have doctor's appointments and you've had troubling symptoms know what it means to be filled with dread. There are people who go home every single day filled with dread because of what they're going to face at home. Or some people go into the workplace filled with dread. There are times in our lives when all we can see is something dreadful ahead. Now, some of us, even optimists, know that there are times that we cannot get away from that dread. And this was the case in the scripture lesson read for us this morning. There was dread in that home, and there was death around the corner. You have to know the background of this story. We hear this lovely story of Mary anointing the feet of Jesus, but just before this happened, Jesus had done a spectacular thing. He had a friend named Lazarus, and Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and Jesus went up to his tomb and shouted out, "Lazarus, come out," and the dead man was brought to life, and he comes out, fabulous miracle, and it sealed his death warrant. Because after that miracle, when all these people had come to believe in Jesus, had come to understand that Jesus was the Messiah, there was a group that went to the religious leaders. And they told the religious leaders the story. And the religious leaders were frightened out of their minds because they were living in occupied territory. They were living under the occupied fist of Rome. And the Romans valued order above all things. Well, having an itinerant preacher going around healing people and raising them from the dead did not exactly exude order. And they knew that their way of life could be destroyed because of this one man. So they gathered together in council with the high priest. And the high priest said, "This one man has to die for this nation to survive." The irony is that decades later, Rome did destroy their beloved Jerusalem. And so Jesus' death warrant was sealed. And the Bible says that he and his disciples did not go around openly anymore because they knew that the religious authorities were looking to arrest him. Beyond that, because Lazarus had received this great gift of life, they were going to take it away from him. And if you read the biblical record, there was also a warrant out to destroy Lazarus, to take his life from him. We don't know what happened to Lazarus, if they were ever able to do that. So dread was in that household. Death was in that household. They were so very grateful, Martha and Mary, that their brother had been spared and was living again, but they knew that because of that, Jesus' life was in danger. So Martha and Mary have this wonderful meal for Jesus, and I can imagine the pall that was over that household. And then Mary did a magnificent thing. In the midst of the dread, she took an expensive jar of perfume. It was equal to a year's salary. Now, I imagine she had been reserving that maybe for her marriage. Maybe when she met the right man and got married, that would be part of her dowry. Who knows? But she had this wonderfully expensive perfume, and she broke it open and baptized Jesus' feet in this perfume. And the Bible says that the scent filled the entire room, chased the scent of death right out of that room. And of course there was grumbling because it was impractical and it was extravagant. But Mary did not care about that. She cared about ministering to her friend Jesus. Sometimes when we only look to the future with dread, we do not understand that there are opportunities right at the present to bless, to beautify, to chase that stench of death away. There are times and opportunities in the present that we have that unless we seize them, the moment is gone. And when all these people grumbled about Mary, what Jesus basically said was, "She's giving me my flowers now, while I can enjoy them." So often we hear, you know, why don't we give flowers while the person is alive and can enjoy them? And that's what Mary did. She gave them ahead of time so he could enjoy them. We have opportunities. Paul says it this way. He said, "I press on. No matter what's going on in my life, I am going to press on for that high calling of God." Now, when he said that, he was not on his way to his next mission trip. He was in jail awaiting trial. You can imagine the dread of this man, not knowing if he'd ever get out of jail again. And yet he said, "I'm going to press on. I'm going to seize the moment and be a blessing in the moment." We don't know what the future holds. We can't redeem the past. The past is done. Whatever's done, whatever mistakes we've made are gone. We can't go back to the past and fix that. We can't secure the future because we have no idea what the future will hold. But we can take a hold of the present. And in the present, we can give grace. In the present, we can give beauty. In the present, we can chase the stench of death away, even if it's for one moment. And so what will you do in the present that God has given to you this day, no matter what the future may hold? Let us pray. Lord, we ask that in this holy moment, as we wait on you, as we reflect on your life, that you will give us the grace and the strength to press on for that high calling of God in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.